We open our Bibles this morning, first of all, in the book of Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 9. That is the 9th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. And we're commencing to read just a few verses from this passage of God's Word down there at verse number 57. That is Luke's Gospel in the 9th chapter and verse 57, just reading down from 57 to 62. And then we'll go to John's Gospel and the chapter number 10, just to read a verse of God's Word. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And then we're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we just read a few verses there. We'll read in verse number 25, verse 25, John 10. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we come together around thy word today, and we pray that thou will bless thy word to our hearts. We thank thee it is the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And I pray that the light of thy word may shine into our hearts. We pray that, Lord, that we might know today that thy word is a lamp unto our feet, and thy word is a light unto our path. O God, at times the path may be a darkened path, but we pray that thou wilt shine the light on it. And I pray that you'll keep our feet from stumbling and keep our feet from falling as thy light, the light of thy word, is shone in the path before us. We pray that thou wilt truly bless thy word to the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. And we pray if there's someone who knows not the Lord Jesus, oh, that the light of the gospel would shine into their hearts, that they might behold him who is the light of the world. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in our previous study, verse 27 of John's Gospel, chapter 10, those words, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We noticed the first thing was the words, my sheep. And there we have the Savior's possession, that we are his sheep. Now, of course, not everyone is his sheep, because the Lord Jesus said in verse 26, But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And so therefore there are those who are not in the flock of God, because they are not redeemed by the precious blood, and they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And I pray this morning, if there's any person gathered here and you're not in that flock of God because you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior, that even this might be the day that the Lord will indeed gloriously change your life and bring you into that wonderful relationship with him. And then we notice not only my sheep, but it says, I know them. I know them. And the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's what he tells us in his precious word. And we are precious to the Lord. And thank God he knows everyone who is his. Now, of course, he says to those who know him not, then shall he say unto them, I never knew you. My, there's a contrast again. As we saw, first of all, he says, my sheep, and then he says, there are those who are not my sheep. There's a great contrast. On the one hand, he says, my sheep, he says, I know them. But then he says, those who are not his, he says, I never knew you. And what an awful tragedy that there be those that would hear from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, depart from me, ye cursed. He said, I never knew you. Now notice then, thirdly, and we have been, this is where we were the last time, not only my sheep and they, or I know them, but he says, my sheep hear my voice. And we were looking at that, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. In other words, the sheep have the discernment and the ability to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And of course, discernment and ability to hear his voice means not simply to hear it, but to evaluate it, to distinguish it, to separate out, to discriminate and judge and scrutinize what the Lord is saying. And God gives his children that ability to hear his voice. Now, we looked at that whenever we looked at Zacchaeus was up the tree. And that day, the Lord Jesus called him by name. And thank God, Zacchaeus immediately came down. It was a call not simply to his ears, but that was the effectual call of grace to his soul. And when he heard that voice, it was the irresistible call of grace. It was that powerful call of the shepherd. And the Lord Jesus said, come down. And immediately, thank God, he left the tree and the Savior came down. This wasn't about Zacchaeus choosing the Lord. It was a far greater power than Zacchaeus had. Thank God it was God and the Lord Jesus who was calling him unto himself. And thank God he was brought to the place. The Lord Jesus came to the place where he was. And as we said on the last occasion, thank God there are many today can look back to the place where they heard the voice of God calling them to repentance and to salvation. And they say, I was born there. Thank God I was redeemed by the precious blood there. And then we looked at the woman of Samaria and how that she heard the voice of the Lord that day. She was looking for Messiah. She said, when Messiah has come, he shall show us all things. But thank God the Lord revealed it. He says, I, the one that's speaking, I'm he. And thank God he revealed himself to that woman that day. You know, the Bible tells us, if you turn to John's Gospel chapter 18 for a moment, it says in John chapter 18, in verse number 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom, he was speaking, Pilate was speaking, and Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. That's John 18, verse 36, 37. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And then he said this, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate asked this question, verse 38. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? You see, Pilate was blinded by his sin. His heart was darkened. He couldn't see the truth of God. Because, let me tell you, he asked the question, what is truth? Well, what did Jesus say? John 14, verse number 6. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. And so therefore, Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And if you are of Christ today, and if you are in Christ, then you will hear the voice of the shepherd, because the work of God in the heart affects the ear. It's not because of our ability, but thank God it's because of his
amazing grace. Yes, we have the ability to and the discernment to recognize his voice. But there's another thing I want you to notice is this. Friend, they hear my voice. But you know, what a difference. What a difference his voice makes. What a difference just a word from the Lord makes all the difference. Let me show you that in God's precious word. Just to hear a word from the Lord, and when you hear his voice, how that a situation that seems dark and black and hopeless, and just he changes it completely. Turn to John's gospel once again in chapter 20, and we have the story of the resurrected Christ. John's gospel chapter 20, and how just a word, just listen, one word from him. My sheep hear my voice, but one word can make all the difference from the Savior. Now, the Bible tells us, verse number 1 of chapter 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. Let me tell you, friend, it wasn't only a darkness because there was a darkness over, but their hearts were dark. They were mourning. They were mourning because the one that they trusted and the one that they loved was put on a cross. And my, the woman had seen the Lord Jesus Christ being put in a tomb and laid in that tomb. And then the big stone rolled against the door. And my, their hopes were darkened. And their future seemed to be dark. And so Mary comes, Mary Magdalene and the others come to the tomb. And when in they come, it says, they seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. You know, her heart was breaking. She saw the stone away from the tomb, and she said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. I don't know where he is. And friend, her hopes were gone. How hopeless she was. Now, John was the younger of the two. There was Peter and John. She went to Peter and John. You'll notice that in John's gospel, he never calls himself by his name. He talks about that other disciple whom Jesus loved. And so we find here that she goes to Peter and to John, and she tells them the calamity that has happened. Now, Peter, the Bible says, verse 3, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter because he was younger, and therefore he was more fit and able to run. And Peter, he followed after. Now, they came to the sepulchre, and the Bible says in verse 8, they went in. Also, that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed that in actual fact that Jesus was gone. Then in verse 10 it says, then the disciples went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Her heart was broken. Her heart was heavy. She was standing there. Now two angels spoke to her, verse number 12. Seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not whither they have laid him. Now notice, friend, the disciples weren't able to wipe away the tears of Mary. They weren't able to still her troubled heart. She had a broken heart. She had a broken spirit because they had taken away. Notice the change. Notice the change. Whenever she went to the disciples, in verse number 3, it says, they've taken away the Lord. But whenever she came here and she was speaking to the two angels, it said, in verse 13, because they have taken away my Lord. They've taken away my Lord. You see, she loved the Lord. You see, the other disciples, they had gone home. I don't know how they really went home. Did they go home troubled? It says they believed that certainly he was gone, but what did they feel? Mary, she lingered. She lingered. Oh, how she loved him. Because the Lord had changed her life. The Lord had changed. She was a woman, Mary Magdalene. She had a woman that was possessed of devils and demons. And therefore, Jesus had changed her life completely. And she was brokenhearted over. She says, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. The two angels weren't able to console her. But then notice the change. Listen. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. She knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Notice the same question. But this was from the Lord. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast borne him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. The Lord only spoke one word. It was her name. He said, Mary. And immediately she recognized that this was the Lord. Only one word. That's all it took. And friend, let me tell you, her tears were gone. Will you let the Lord speak to you today? I said earlier on, perhaps there's someone and you're carrying a heavy burden. Mary was carrying a heavy burden. They had taken away her Lord. She didn't know where they're. Listen, she was willing. She said, listen, if you've borne him hence, you tell me where he is and I'll take him. Listen, she was willing to carry the dead body of Jesus in her arms because she loved him. Friend, how much do you love the Lord today? Oh, you can sing, My Jesus, I love you. But how much do you love the Lord? Are you willing to let the Lord talk to you? Are you willing to let the Lord speak? Are you willing to say, Lord, speak? Because thy servant heareth. Listen, this woman was brokenhearted, and it only took one word from Jesus just to change that all. Just one word. It was her name. Then just turn back for a moment to the Song of Solomon. And in the Song of Solomon there, we find, if you turn to the Song of Solomon, that we just read in chapter 2 for a moment. Chapter 2. And we find here in verse number 7, here we find the woman saying, and she speaks to her companions, and she says this, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. She speaks to her companions. But friends, let me tell you, she has an ear. She has an ear for her beloved and her beloved's voice, so much in love with her beloved. And you notice whenever she comes to the end of verse number 7, it says that ye stir not up to, nor wake my love till he please. And then she says, the voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. She stops abruptly. Why? Because she hears the beloved voice of her Lord. My sheep hear my voice. Is your ear tuned to the voice of God today? Are you ready to listen to what God says? Let me tell you then what God says if it is. Let's just follow on. Go back to John's Gospel, chapter 10. It says, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That's the next thing. They follow me. Our brother read the scriptures this morning in Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 4. And you remember the Lord Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 4, verse 18. And he saw two brethren, Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You say, but that's not your thing to do. Is it, friend? Is it? Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, the chapter we read this morning. Because we'll find in the chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel that the Lord Jesus, in this chapter, announces to his disciples that he's going to be rejected and then to die upon the cross. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 29, verse 21, or chapter 9, verse 21, it says, and he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoso will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And so therefore he told them the first requirement of following him was self-denial, to take up your cross daily to follow me. It is taking up the cross. And then in this chapter, we find three men. From verse 57. The Lord Jesus encounters two men who volunteer to follow him. And then there's one man who, when Jesus calls to follow him, we find that he tells him to follow him, but we don't know what the final outcome was, because that's not the focus of the chapter. I believe the Lord is speaking to us about following him. Am I following him today? Or who are you following? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ wants his people to follow him, but the Lord doesn't tell us that following him's easy. Notice, you've got to take up the cross daily to follow him. We sang, it's not an easy road. And the Lord Jesus Christ insists here that nothing is to take the priority over following him. Now, there are things that are mentioned in this passage from verse 57 to verse 62. There are things that, actual fact, are plausible. And actually, they would be commendable. And yet, they are commendable as long as they are not done at the expense of following Christ. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And friend, what the Lord is asking you and me is to put him first in our lives, because following the Lord Jesus is not a light matter. You know, there are those people who envisage that the Christian life is somehow, it's a life of worldly prosperity. You know, there's a message that's going about today, and it is the prosperity gospel. You follow Jesus and he'll make you rich. And that is in channels on the televisions. There's these preachers. And friend, let me tell you, there's thousands going to them. And they're all wanting to be rich. And so they sit under this prosperity message. And all they've got to do is this little thing, and God will make them rich. That's not what the book says. In actual fact, all the apostles that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, virtually all of them were martyred. There wasn't much prosperity in that. They died for their faith. John was the one that was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Paul was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was whipped. He was left homeless. He was hungry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll talk all about that. That's not an easy road. That's what it meant following Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here in his precious word that following him is not an easy thing, but it's the right thing. You've got to take up your cross daily to follow him. You see, we find the two expressed their desire to do so, but it wasn't the most important thing. It wasn't the most important thing. And what the Lord's talking is about priorities in following him. Let's just look at verse number 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, here's the man who volunteered, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Doesn't that sound good? This man's enthusiastic. It seems to be this man has an unlimited commitment. But notice what Jesus says in 58. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, what happened that day was this. The Lord heard what the man said, but the Lord looked into his heart. The Lord looked into this man's heart. You see, his response was impulsive. It seemed to be idealistic. But the Lord knew he hadn't thought it through. What it meant to truly follow the Lord. And friend, what it meant for following the Lord completely was leaving aside personal comforts that he was enjoying. Perhaps even he took for granted. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What was the Savior doing, friend? The Savior was spelling out what following him really meant. Self-denial. To leave aside the comforts. Self-indulgence had to be cast aside. And the Savior doesn't list an easy road here. In actual fact, he doesn't enlist on false pretense. Nor is he a dishonest person to recruit into his battle. There's a battle that has to be fought. There's a race that has to be run. There's a work that has to be done. And there are many hard things to be endured. And the Lord Jesus said, man, you think this is easy? To follow me, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but I even have in a place to lay my head. Now, friends, salvation's without price. Thank God we're saved by God's grace. But following Jesus is not easy. And every child of God, if you're honest, you know there's a devil because, my, from the night that you trusted Jesus as your Savior, the devil has been after you. And he has tried to trip you up, and he has tried to make you stumble, and he has tried to pull you down. But it's the best and right road because it's the only way to heaven, following Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say this to discourage the man, but the Lord was telling him the truth. And friend, let me tell you, if you think coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and then thereafter it's just going to be a bed of roses, that's not so. It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. And the man volunteered to follow Christ. But friend, let me tell you, doesn't say what happened then. Doesn't say, Lord, I'm still going. Doesn't say that. That's the end of a story. And then look at the second man. And Jesus, and he said unto another, verse number 59, follow me. Here's the Lord Jesus saying to this man, follow me. But he said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the gospel, the kingdom of God. Now, some people say that that's a very hard statement. But you see, what this man was saying is this. He said, Lord, I'll follow you, but suffer me first. Notice that. Me first. Let me tell you, friend, in following Christ, it's not me first. It's seek first the kingdom of God. It's the Lord first. And here was a man. Listen, I don't know what the situation is, and commentators have talked about this. And they said that what the man was saying to us, listen, Lord, after my father's gone, after my father's dead, then I'll follow you. But I can't go now. I can't go now. Some have questioned, was his father ill? And therefore he was saying, well, I'm going to look after my father. Now, friend, let me tell you, the Bible says this, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it is right for us to fulfill the fifth commandment. He didn't come to negate or abolish the law. He said, I've come to fulfill the law. And so therefore you would say that this man's request was a reasonable request. He was caring for his father. Suffer me first to bury my father, and then I'll go and I'll follow thee. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. What was he saying, friend? Whilst it's true, and I wish that that was true, because sad to say, we live in a day when families seem to have lost their love for their parents and lost the care for their loved ones. And you say, well then, was the Lord condemning this man because he was willing to do that? No, friend. What the Lord was saying was this. If our commitment to our family is greater than our commitment to the Lord, then it's wrong. It's the Lord first. Let me show you that. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and the verse 37, it says this. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. There is no duty that you and I have that's more urgent than our duty to God. It's God first. That's it. It's God first. Following the Lord Jesus Christ and the call of God and the command of God and what the voice of God says to your heart, friend, you must put the Lord first. You must put him first. And there are many people have done that, and their families have disowned them. But they've got to put God first. And what's the Lord saying here? The Lord said to this man, follow me. The man says, suffer me first. He says, suffer me first to bury my father. Now, how long that would have been, I don't know. But friend, the interesting thing is this. That's the end of that story too. What did the man do? I don't know. Because the Lord finishes it there. And the Savior just goes on. Look at verse 61. We'll soon be finished. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Here is a second volunteer. The man in the middle was the one that the Lord Jesus Christ given the call to, but here's a second volunteer. He volunteers to follow the Lord. He says, Lord, I will follow thee. Now, was he there when Jesus was talking to the man in verse number 59? I don't know. But I do know that he volunteered to follow the Lord. He said, Lord, I will follow thee. That sounds good. But. Oh, you see that wee word. But. You know, here's someone. There's someone going to come after that. But. Let me first. There's it again. Let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. He says, Lord, I'll follow thee. I will. With a stipulation. I want to go home and say goodbye to everyone. See, friend, here's a man, he thought it was important to follow Christ. But it wasn't as important as going home to his relatives first and speaking to them. A divided heart. Remember Lot's wife? The angel of the Lord came to take her out of the city and was bringing her out of the city to the place of refuge. And she looked back. And that's what Jesus said in verse 62. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Some of the commentators tell us that what the man said was this. He was keeping an open door if it didn't work out. If this following Jesus didn't work out, then he left the family in good terms that he could go back again. It wasn't a full commitment. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying in verse 62 is this. His followers must be totally focused on this purpose of following him. They couldn't have one foot in one camp and another in another camp. What's most important, friend? Following Jesus or your family? What did you put first? Who comes first in your life or mine today? Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And maybe God today is calling you to take a stand for God and for truth. And that stand that God has taken you to take, or calling you to take, friend, it's not easy. But when God tells us it's right, are you going to follow him? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to put him first? You say, how do we follow the Lord? Friend, take your Bibles at home. Do a study. God wants you to follow him wholly. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Numbers 14, verse 24. He wholly followed the Lord. God wants you to be like Ruth, to follow closely. Do you remember what Ruth said whenever she was there with Naomi? Entreat me not to leave thee, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my people. Thy God will be my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do to me so, and more also of aught but death part thee and me. And when Naomi saw that Ruth steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, and the two went together. Is that the way you're going with God today? You're walking closely, side by side, walking with him. You're to follow him patiently. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 20 and 21, as a sufferer. You're to follow him promptly. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 11, 28, and 28. You're to follow him constantly. And with this I close. Turn to chapter 21 of John's Gospel. And it says in verse number 17, Jesus saith unto him, that's unto Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith unto him, or saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You see, friend, the Lord had called Peter whenever he was fishing, and the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And immediately he left his nets and he followed Christ. But the day came whenever the Lord Jesus had gone to the cross, and Peter says, I go a-fishing. I'm going back to the fishing. Yes, the Lord said, from henceforth, I'll make you to become a fisher of men. You're leaving your old life. And Peter had left that. But then the Lord Jesus has died, and Peter says, I'm going back to the fishing. And the disciples said, well, we're going with you too. And others went with him. The Lord Jesus Christ came and met him afresh and recommissioned him and said to him, Peter, follow me. And Peter heard what it meant to follow him, because Peter would die for the sake of Christ. And Peter looked at John and he said, well, what about him, Lord? What about him? And Peter said, or Jesus said, Peter, if it's my will that he tarry till I come again, what's that to thee? Follow thou me. Friend, get your eyes off anybody else today. Stop looking around to somebody else and say, well, what about him? No, no. Jesus says, follow me. Are you willing to take up your cross daily and follow him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we sang a hymn, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And oh God, our Father, it's so easy to sing those words, but oh God, whenever we're down in the life's valley experiences, it's not easy going. Lord, perhaps we don't want to go there. Help us, our God, whenever we say it, to mean it. I'll go with him all the way. We pray that thou will help thy people this day to go through with thee, no matter what the cost, to honestly say, I surrender all. Help us not to put our hand to the plow and look back. Help us to press on. Give us the strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please do pray for the mission this afternoon, that as we started, that God's blessing will be upon us, that God will give us help to preach the gospel of Christ, and the precious souls be brought to saving faith in Jesus. And I just want to say, with the joy of seeing a lady over 70 years of age brought to Christ in Scotland over there with Brother Ian, and so we rejoice in the saving grace of God even during that visit. Do pray that God will bless us. Amen.